I'm Jen Taylor Skinner, and this is The Electorate. On this episode, I have a conversation with April Rain, the creator of Oscar So White, the viral hashtag and movement created in 2015 in response to the lack of diversity in that year's Oscar nominations. April joins me to discuss this year's nominations, which were, again, not very diverse. We discuss the gains in the industry since her movement went viral and where and why they're still falling short. We also discuss Stephen King's controversial reaction to the criticism that the movie industry still lacks diversity. So, here is my conversation with April Rain. April, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yesterday was a big day, probably in your world. The Oscar nominations came out, and that's kind of, you know, your claim to fame in terms of being an activist. So, what happened with the Oscar nominations? It looks like we haven't made any progress in the past 4 years since you started your hashtag, OscarsSoWhite.
Well, I think that we've made some progress. So in 2016, 1 year after I created Oscar So White, the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences, the folks who run the Oscars, committed to doubling the number of people of color and doubling the number of women within its ranks. And they hit their mark with respect to people of color, going from 8% to 16%. But they fell short, unfortunately, with respect to women, going from 25% to 32%. But even with those benchmarks that they've hit, the Academy is still 84% white and 68% men. And knowing that, I don't think many people could be surprised by the nominations that we saw yesterday.
Yeah, so just how bad was it? I mean, I haven't looked through every single category, but were there any major categories? Were there any women nominated or any people of color nominated in any of those big categories?
There was one person of color. Cynthia Erivo was nominated for Best Actress for her role in Harriet, her starring role. There were no women nominated for Best Director. In fact, in the history of the Academy Awards, only 5 women in over 90 years have been nominated, and only one has won the award. But Cynthia was the only person of color. Parasite, which was a fantastic film from South Korea, received about 6 nominations. And then there were a couple of others. So Best Animated Short, Matthew Cherry's Hair Love received a nomination. And finally, yeah, in Best Documentary Short, St. Louis Superman, about Bruce Fanks Jr., also received a nomination.
Yeah, I was really happy about Hair Love. I love that.
It was fantastic.
So I wasn't really sure if I wanted to bring this up because it's very fresh, and I try not to ride that wave of fresh, you know, news where people get outraged about things, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Stephen King, is he on the, I mean, he's obviously on the...
He is an Academy member, yes.
So his comments earlier today, he said on Twitter, he said, "I would never consider diversity in matters of art." We could stop there and that would be controversial enough, right? But he went on, he goes, "Only quality. It seems to me that to do otherwise would be wrong." What are your thoughts on that?
Well, to be fair to Stephen King, although he may not be worthy of fairness, there were 4 tweets in that sort of thread. And so the first one, he said, "As a writer, I'm allowed to nominate in just 3 categories." We're just talking about the Academy Awards: Best Picture, Best Adapted Screenplay, and Best Original Screenplay. "For me, the diversity issue, as it applies to individual actors and directors anyway, did not come up. That said, I would never consider diversity in matters of art, only quality. It seems to me that to do otherwise would be wrong." I take issue with that for about 47,000 different reasons. First of all, it was sort of a cop-out to say that it doesn't come up for him with respect to actor and actress, because those aren't his categories. But it absolutely comes up with respect to screenplay. And I responded to him mentioning Get Out, you know, which won Best Original Screenplay a couple of years ago. And it was considered by some a horror film, which is obviously Stephen King's genre. And it is very rare for horror films to be nominated at this level because people think, you know, they don't sell well or they aren't relatable to a lot of people. Right. So for him to say that he doesn't think about diversity is short-sighted, and people took him to task, as you can imagine.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess the thing is, you know, a lot of people jump on him for the fact that, you know, he seems to be implying that diversity is the opposite of quality, or that you have to compromise one for the other. And there's just so many layers to that. Like you said, there's like 47,000 reasons that whole, you know, thread of tweets was wrong. But, you know, I mean, the problem is that bias comes in before you even get to the quality. How do you know if you have a body of quality work if your bias reduces the diversity in the field?
Well, that's exactly right. And talking about the pool of quality, right? That's the real problem. So if we know the Academy is overwhelmingly white and male, then that means that it is not racism, it is not discrimination, it is not bigotry. It's just everyone is attracted to things that reflect their own experiences. And that means if we're talking about straight white cishet males, the pool is going to be smaller and they're not going to be as open to experiences of marginalized communities. And so things like Get Out don't get made or don't get recognized. Things like the movie Coco don't get made or don't get recognized, despite the fact that audience interest and box office receipts and critical acclaim say that these movies should be made. And in fact, the statistics show that the more inclusive, the more diverse a film is, both in front of and behind the camera, the better it does with respect to its bottom line.
Right, of course. And that seems obvious, but, you know, they can't see past their own interests, right? And, you know, I mean, that's human nature. But the thing is, you know, I was thinking about this last night, and, you know, when the Oscar nominations came out, I was thinking about the fact that it feels to me, because, you know, your Oscar So White movement, it went viral, and I thank you for that, because it was really important, and you made some really important changes in the Academy. But I feel like, and this happens in politics too, whenever we take a step forward, we take, you know, five steps backwards, right? And often there's this backlash, and it goes unseen from the people who kind of control the system. In this case, like, you know, maybe they made some improvements in 2016 in relation to the Oscars, right? But I feel like, you know, maybe it's subconscious that we have this counter movement and then we end up with less diversity. And I think we kind of see the same thing with politics right now in the primary. You know, we've got like an all white primary. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's exactly right. There are several things that are going on here. Glenn Mazzara, who is a writer, producer, executive producer, showrunner, and white guy, yeah, was very honest in talking about what he thinks is the issue, which is that white men, again, the overwhelming majority of the Academy, feel threatened by these pushes for more diversity and inclusion and are specifically and intentionally not voting for films made by marginalized people because those votes and those wins would validate those films and create a shift in the marketplace. Which I think is really interesting and was very bold of him to say the quiet part out loud, as we say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, there's some quote about the fact that, like, the person who's in power, they never give up power willingly, right? Do you know that quote I'm talking about?
I think that's exactly right. I don't know the exact quote, but, you know, we're talking about the gatekeepers here. Yeah. And again, you know, overwhelmingly studios, movie studios and TV networks are run by older white men. And for whatever reason, even though the facts say otherwise, they believe it is still a risk, using my air quotes, to bank on marginalized communities leading the efforts, leading the films, being the protagonist. And it at this point means that they are literally leaving money on the table.
Yeah. You know, whenever I'm feeling really wise and mature, one of the things that I tell people is that, you know, that they shouldn't be shocked, right? You know, I'm always shocked by the shock because the same people who are the gatekeepers in this industry, you know, they're just a part of the population. So, you know, we've got these biases just generally across the population. And, you know, let's just take, you know, politics, for instance, you know, Trump voters. Those people have to work somewhere. You know, so, I mean, we should expect to still see, or we shouldn't be shocked when we see things like, you know, the Oscar nominations coming out, because, you know, these people are just a part of the population. And as long as we have these biases in our population generally and in our culture, they're going to show up in these industries like any other industry, like the tech industry, like the, you know, media, everything.
Well, that's absolutely right. And that's why people have created tech so white and journalism so white. And to be clear, when I created Oscar So White, it was an umbrella, not just with respect to race and ethnicity, but also sexual orientation, gender identity, First Nation status, disability, all traditionally underrepresented communities. And we're still seeing that today. It's unfortunate that those who are in power are unwilling to cede it without a fight. And that's why it's important for everyday consumers like you and me, moviegoers, you know, we can talk about brands and marketing, that we do not reward mediocrity. And we continue to stand up and say, we want projects, films, products of all types that reflect our experiences.
Yeah, so the primary So White was a more recent hashtag that came out in response to, you know, the primaries. So, you know, we started off really well. It's one of the most diverse primary fields that we've had in a long, long time, I think ever, right? And then they slowly started to drop off, right? And, you know, yesterday, I think it was yesterday, Cory Booker ended his campaign. You know, he was one of the last voices from people of color in the Democratic primaries. And I think, I don't know, I guess Tulsi Gabbard is still there and, you know, Andrew Yang. Yeah, yes. But on the debate stage, we've got six more debates coming up before the general election. And I know that they're all going to drop off. There's not going to be any representation from people of color, you know, coming up. Probably, right? But that hashtag, primary so white, kind of came out of your Oscar So White, right? And so you've got this whole new group of activists who are kind of using this, you know, online hashtag, you know, activism to change all these other industries. So one of the things that I followed that you did, you saw this trend happening in politics and in this primary. And then you did a Twitter town hall with Julian Castro. Like, what made you do that?
I believed in the policies of Julian Castro, and I just didn't believe that he was receiving the media attention that he deserved. I still believe that if he was, you know, a straight white male, he may be leading the field right now because he has the experience, he had strong policies, and he had a way forward. And so I discussed with the campaign, I said, you know, I'm not going to endorse him. We're not going to talk about money or anything like that. I still don't even have a Julian t-shirt. But, you know, I said, let's just have the conversation to introduce him to some of my followers and people that may be following along.
Yeah, I think I live tweeted that town hall. I was really happy that you did that. And I've been a big follower and supporter of his policies, you know, since he first announced his campaign. And he was one of the few that had, you know, I think Maya Rupert, that's her name. She was the his campaign manager, right? A Black woman. You know, so it was, you know, unfortunate to see him end his campaign because he did have a really strong platform and really strong policies. And I always felt like he was never pandering. I know people are really good at this and sometimes it's hard to see when people are pandering, but I felt that he really had a deep understanding of a lot of the issues in marginalized communities that he was talking about.
I absolutely agree. And there were a lot of firsts with his campaign. So he was the first to mention the names of Black and Brown people who had been killed by state-sanctioned violence on a debate stage. I believe he was the first or one of the first to bring up issues of the transgender community on the debate stage. And it always, as you said, it felt very authentic. And so now we see that he has thrown his support behind Senator Elizabeth Warren, and we will see how she does on the debate stage tonight.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Wow. But okay, so I have to tell you, April, that I don't feel very hopeful in relation to just specifically the Oscars, because I thought we were going in this direction. And then, you know, the nominations came out. And I feel like, you know, especially after Stephen King's tweets today, and also the comments to his tweet, you know, people justifying like, well, yeah, I kind of feel that way. They're missing the point. I don't feel very confident about the way we're going. I mean, how do we penetrate this industry with all of these, you know, wealthy white gatekeepers, these men, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to happen on a number of different levels. So first, you know, what we know is that the ratings for the Oscars the last few years, especially since Oscars So White, have gone down, which says that moviegoers aren't as interested anymore. And because we also know that the voting membership of the Academy is not required to view the films or the performances before they vote.
What?
Yeah. I'll give you the dramatic pause there. Yeah. So because they don't have to look at the movies, it really does become a popularity contest, right? I've always said that Oscar So White and choosing the best possible performances and actors and actresses and so on should be based on merit. But how can it be if you're not even watching the films?
Yeah, wow.
So that's part of it. I think the other part is that we see individual filmmakers, actors and actresses alike, who are creating their own production company. Obviously, very famously, you know, Tyler Perry has done it. Ava DuVernay has done it. Michael B. Jordan and others, because they are saying we are no longer going to wait for the studios to make the films we want to see. We will create our own production companies and do it ourselves. And I think that's incredibly important. The increase in streaming services, meaning Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon Prime, means that consumers and moviegoers have additional options to see films. And they almost feel like they're democratizing the playing field a little bit, because it's a lot easier to put something on a laptop as opposed to getting it into a Cineplex.
But as far as having your own production company, that's another hurdle on so many other levels that, you know, you have to pass. I mean, you have to have quite a bit of money, right? And then we've got wealth inequality.
I think that we are going to see some of that in the months ahead. You know, Congress is looking at this issue as well with respect to diversity and inclusion in the entertainment industry, especially because many of these big studios receive amazing tax breaks for filming in various places around the country, you know, New York, Atlanta, and so on. And so because of that, because it means that they're getting these benefits, Congress has a vested interest in ensuring that marginalized communities are having these opportunities as well.
So are you going to the Oscars again?
I am not.
You're not. That dress was really, I loved that dress. Was it like a pink?
Thank
yeah,
you.
Like a rose? I don't know.
Yeah, that last year. I think it was technically lavender. It was Badgley Mischka. I was proud to wear it, and they were wonderful. They dressed me for both the Oscars and the NAACP Image Awards last year.
Beautiful. Well, April Rain, thank you so, so much for everything you've done. Thank you for your activism. And I am, you know, you talked me off the ledge. I'm hoping to see some change soon.
Well, we have to be the change that we want to see.
There you go. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening. The Electorate is independently created and produced by me, Jen Taylor Skinner. And of course, I'm the host. But I also do all of the editing, the audio, and the graphics. You name it, it's on my plate. So if you enjoyed this episode of The Electorate, please help The Electorate grow by subscribing. Just hit the subscribe button on whatever app you use to listen to podcasts. Also, leave a review for The Electorate on iTunes. Lastly, one final way to help The Electorate is by following The Electorate on social media. That's at Electorate on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thanks again for listening, and until next time, keep up the good fight.